is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are doing an emergency Milwaukee Bucks pod along with a reaction to the All-NBA teams and some of the ramifications that may have on certain players' contract status. Jay, Bucks. What?
The buck stops there. Apparently.
What was that?
It was terrible. You know, we were watching, we were doing our podcast and we were watching and the Bucks started off really, really strong. Like, they looked really good at the beginning of the game and it looked like they were in complete control. They got Siakam into foul trouble. And it just looked like everything was turning up roses for the Bucks, and then all of a sudden, they decided to not guard Fred VanVleet, who went off tonight, 7 of 9 threes. I think he ended with 23 or something like that.
Team and record 18 threes for the Raptors, playoff record.
Kawhi, we were just kind of looking at the stats and stuff. Kawhi had 18 points with a minute left in the third quarter, and he ends with 35. I mean, it's just, the Bucks should be embarrassed that they're even letting this happen. The fact that the only way that they can win now is to get it to Game 7 is embarrassing, because we like you said before, we felt like they had the best chance to beat the Warriors, but at this point, I don't think either of these teams are going to beat the Warriors, and here's Golden State just sitting back. They could be sitting by the... They could have gone down to, like, Bahamas for a few days to get relaxed.
They could have done the Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley gone fishing.
They could have done that. They could have made Space Jam 2 with LeBron at this point. And these two teams are just, I don't know, it's pitiful. Pitiful Bucks. I can't believe it. I'm disappointed.
After the first two games, I would have been willing to bet most anything that they weren't going to lose three in a row. I know we talked about it on the last show that they had only lost two in a row one other time the whole year, and they have never lost three in a row this season.
I got another stat for you.
Okay.
They were in the lead going into the fourth quarter, Mike. Okay? They were 33-0 this season when going into the lead at home. They never lost a game all season. Up going into the fourth quarter. And here they are.
And I'm going to be honest. Like, I look at them and I'm not sure what to attribute the struggles to, other than the fact that if you really look at them player by player, the level of talent's maybe not the right word, but obviously Giannis is what he is, and he's still, as great as he is, has limitations because he's just not able to shoot the ball very well off the dribble. He's either getting all the way to the rim or he's got to have a catch and shoot, and that makes it difficult to score at times when teams are throwing two or three guys at you.
It doesn't help when you go 4 of 9 from the free throw line, Giannis.
No, the free throws has been a big problem for Giannis, for sure. And that's something that you got to start thinking about moving forward, is, you know, looking at next year and the year after. That's something you got to fix, and you got to be able to step to the line. And it's one of the things I never liked about LeBron's game, is that he wasn't, in the last 2 minutes, he wasn't a guaranteed 2 for 2 at the line. And Giannis is sort of in that same boat. And he's so good going to the basket, and he's so long, and he's going to get fouled. I mean, he's going to average 9 or 10 free throws every year, every game. And if you're only going to shoot 70%, or in this case, far below that, you're not going to get much. But going back to my point here, I think you look at Milwaukee's players, and you wonder, okay, who's going to perform? Who's going to step up? And Middleton obviously was poor tonight. He had 6, had a good game the last game.
He was 6, 10, and 10, so at least he did something, but still.
And Middleton, look, I like Middleton. Middleton's a good player. Middleton's been working very, very hard to defend Kawhi on the defensive end of the floor, which I'm sure has compromised his offense to a certain degree. I'm not sure that if you look at the profile, especially of teams over the last 10 years that have won championships, I'm not sure he fits the pedigree of the second best player on a championship team if you look at the history in the last 10 years. And then you look at the rest of Milwaukee's team, and who's playing well? Bledsoe has been a train wreck. I don't know what his stats were tonight.
He had 20 points, but I'm pretty sure 12 of them were in the first quarter.
I mean, he played a little bit better, but again, that's going off a baseline of playing very, very poorly.
Brogdon had a good game. Brogdon had 18, 11, 6, and he shot 8 of 17, but he didn't have a single free throw attempt. And Lopez, I mean, you can't really expect Lopez to score more than 16 points, right? I mean...
No, I agree. I think you need more from Giannis. Giannis has to be...
He only had 24.
...more dominant. I mean, 24, good game, not a great game. If they're going to win, if they're going to win Game 6 and then win Game 7, Giannis has to be... I'm going back to a word I used to describe Damian Lillard earlier in the playoffs, but Giannis is going to have to be transcendent. He's going to have to put Milwaukee on his back, and this will be a good test for where he is in his ascension towards the top, you know, towards the top of the league. Can he put the Bucks on his back for two games? And I think he's going to have to, especially in this Game 6 in Toronto. He's going to have to get 35 at least. If he doesn't get 35, I don't see how the Bucks win, because they just don't have, at least seemingly, the production that they're going to get from these other guys facing Toronto's defense, and the game slows down. And I don't know what their fast break points were tonight. They obviously got a few more than they did in the last game, in Game 5. But still, they're not getting them down the floor the same way that they were. And I think the thing with tonight's game that I think really cost them is that opening first quarter, they got off to that big lead. I think they were up 18-4. And that 14-point lead disappeared very, very quickly. I think it eventually was tied up at 35. And it just felt like they came off, they got off such a strong start, and then it just disappeared. And, you know, basically then they got buried in that third quarter with threes, Van Vliet hitting a bunch of them. And then obviously we talked about what Kawhi did in the fourth quarter. And, if you're Milwaukee, I'm not sure what you're going to do to be able to adjust that and fix it, other than Giannis has just got to play better and guys got to knock down shots.
Yep, and, you know, I'm rooting for Milwaukee, because any hope that we have for a good finals might rely on Milwaukee, although I can't really say that based on the last two, three games, but I have high hopes. But, so I'm going to say Milwaukee in 7.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Milwaukee. I've been on Milwaukee since the beginning of the playoffs, and I was on Giannis as the MVP back at the beginning of the season, and I really thought Milwaukee was going to have a great year, and they have. And honestly, if they come up short of the finals, I think it's going to be a huge, huge disappointment. And I also think it's going to cause them to go back and look in the mirror. And their team could look a lot different next year. They got a lot of free agents, and people could be headed other places. And who knows? You never hear Milwaukee as a potential destination for any of the big-time free agents, but maybe something will change. And
yeah,
who knows? Giannis obviously is a guy that if you're out there in the league that you might want to play with. And although Milwaukee isn't considered the most desirable city in the league, I would think that just from a pure basketball standpoint with Coach Bud and Giannis in place, I would think that they'd be able to attract free agents. But that's a conversation for another day. I think I'm going to stick with Milwaukee too, but man, they've shaken my confidence in their ability, A, to even win this series, and then B, I certainly thought going into the Eastern Conference Finals that they could compete with, if not even beat, Golden State. And now, I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned that if they do somehow make it out, that they're not going to give Golden State a competitive series either. Yeah. And I don't think the Raptors, as good as they've played in these last three games, even if they end up finishing off the Bucks, I just don't see how the matchups and the amount of scoring that Golden State can put out on the floor, I don't see how the Raptors can possibly match that. I would think that series would not be a very competitive one. But we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And so I'm going to stick with Milwaukee in 7 as well.
All right, so the other thing we're going to talk about tonight really briefly is the All-NBA teams. I'll start off with the first team, and we can talk. I don't know any of these. I don't feel like any of these are surprises, but obviously the three finalists for MVP, Giannis,
no-brainer,
Giannis and Harden were unanimous. Everyone, all 100 voters had them as the first
no
team.
Both those guys, no-brainers.
Paul George is also on the list. He only got 433 points, which was 71 first-team votes. So you know that he's not going to win the MVP. Not that that was even a question. But interestingly, Steph got 482 points. He got 91 first-team votes. And then Jokic won the center first team. I don't think any of those five are surprises, correct?
No, I think, you know, you could possibly make an argument that Paul George tailed off at the end of the season and maybe you could sneak somebody else in there at forward spot, but I think Paul George is a solid choice based on his production over the course of the year. And Curry obviously is what Curry is. I don't think there's any argument to be made there. The only argument is the Jokic Embiid debate, and I think you could make a case for either guy being first team, and it'd be interesting to talk to some of the voters and see why they chose Jokic over Embiid. I'm not saying that it's the wrong choice. That's probably the choice that I would have made. And my question with Jokic would have been more, like I said back at the beginning of the playoffs, is he a guy who's capable of doing it on the biggest stage, where I think we know that Embiid, when he's healthy, has the athleticism and the ability to step up and perform. And I think there was that question with Jokic, and he obviously answered that bell without any problem. So I got no problem with Jokic being the first team All-NBA center. Probably the bigger issue is, should there even be that positional, you know, voting, or should you be able to just put the five most deserving guys on the first team All-NBA? But under the constraints of the current system, I think that those five are a good five to be first team All-NBA.
All right, so the second team NBA All-NBA was Joel Embiid, which Jokic got 411 points, Embiid got 375, so it was pretty close. I mean,
as it should have been. Those guys, I think you could split hairs on which guy had the better season.
And then Durant is one of the forwards, Lillard's one of the guards, Kawhi is a forward, and Kyrie's a guard.
Okay, so I mentioned earlier that Paul George was a spot that I think he's deserving, but you could probably make a case for somebody else, and I think the somebody else in that case is Durant. I don't think Kawhi has an argument to be on the first team with his load management and the number of games that he missed. Obviously, the way he's performed in the playoffs and the type of player he is, he certainly is a first-team All-NBA player, but based on the season and the number of games he played, I don't think he's deserving of being on the first team. I could make a case probably for Durant to make it onto the first team instead of Paul George. But I think overall, if you look at the production that George put up throughout the course of the game, of the season, from game one all the way to game 82, I think he was deserving. So I don't have any problems with anybody on that spot. I know there was some talk about Kyrie and just his leadership and all that stuff, but I think if you look at the statistics and you look at who the third team guards are, I don't think there's much of an argument to be made that Kyrie shouldn't be a second-team All-NBA guy.
All right, and then the third-team All-NBA, Westbrook, not a surprise. Blake Griffin, not a surprise in my opinion. Rudy Gobert, and then the two question marks. I didn't think there was any way LeBron was going to get left off an All-NBA team, but it's kind of... He's a third team. I think it's got to be the first time in his career. Yeah, that's the first time in his career he's ever gotten a third team All-NBA. I don't know that he even deserved to be here, and we can discuss the other people that got... He got 111 votes, points, which is crazy to me. He got 13 votes for second team. No, none for first, thankfully. And then the other guy who I think has no business being on this third, in my opinion, is Kemba Walker.
Kemba started out the year really great, and you could go back and look at his splits on December 1st and say, wow, this guy was, you know, having a phenomenal year. And he did have a great year, but I'm not sure that he was more deserving than a couple of guys behind him. If you look at Bradley Beal's stats or you look at what Klay Thompson has done and continues to do as the Warriors march toward what is probably another inevitable championship ring. I think you can really make a case for either one of those guys over Kemba. And if you value winning, then you probably value what Clay does. You look at the defensive end of the floor, what he does. And I think that probably sets him above both Beal and Kemba. But the interesting part of this is the fact that this impacts their contract situations and who's eligible for the Supermax. And I know that this was, I think, Beal's last chance to qualify for the Supermax. So I think he's out on that. And I think the same for Clay, but I'm not 100% sure what his contract status is in relation to that. But regardless, I'm not sure that I would add Kemba on there. I think I probably would have voted for, begrudgingly, I think I probably would have voted for Clay. And then as far as LeBron goes, if you look at his stat line, I think he averaged 28, 8, and 8 over the course of the time that he played. And, of course, he missed, whatever, 25 or 30 games over the course of the season. You know, you start looking at that stat line and you look at sort of the legacy vote for LeBron and what he's done in the game over the last 15 years and his popularity. It's not surprising that he ended up making the third team. You could probably make a case based on the number of games played that there was somebody who was left off that maybe might be more deserving. But to be honest, I don't have that much of a problem with LeBron being on that team. At 28, 8, and 8, it's kind of hard to argue against him. I mean, obviously, we know what the arguments are, that he didn't play very many games, that he didn't really play hard on defense.
Listen, you can make the argument that the Cavs are a dumpster fire. The Lakers were great until he got hurt, and here's where we are. And, you know, what would have been really interesting to kind of bring the Lakers into this whole situation is if LeBron doesn't get hurt and the Lakers make the playoffs, does the whole Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka blow up situation happen? Do all the events that led to everything going on happen? And you don't know the answer. So there's a point right there for him to be an All-NBA because he's the driver of everything that is going on in the Lakerland right now.
So I thought you were going a different direction with that. I thought you were going to say, what if the Lakers had made the playoffs? What could they have done in the playoffs? And I'll answer that in just a second. But as far as the Pelinka Magic thing, I kind of feel like that whenever the Lakers lost, there probably would have been some type of drama, I'm guessing. And that probably would have led to the same thing happening. I can't imagine that all the things that went on during the season, everything that Magic talked about in both his impromptu press conference and then his first take
appearance,
that I got to believe that all those things were still there regardless of whether or not the team ended up making the playoffs or not making the playoffs. It wasn't like they were going to be a number one seed with any kind of real legitimate chance of making it to the finals or winning a championship. So I think that drama would have come out no matter what. I think the more interesting question is if they had made the playoffs with, you know, let's say LeBron never gets hurt and the team continues to kind of mature around him from December 25th all the way through the end of the season. You look around at the landscape and, you know, if you'd have put the Lakers on the Portland-Denver side of the bracket, would you have been willing to bet against LeBron and the Lakers? Again, if he hadn't gotten hurt and they had kind of continued on the same trajectory, which is probably to win, I don't know, between 46 and 48 or 50 games, somewhere in there. That's about the pace they were on. Would you have taken a 50-win or a 45-win Laker team against either Portland or Denver with LeBron on that team?
No. The answer is no. The answer is no.
Maybe not, but I mean, it's hard to say now because we know kind of that it all fell apart. But you go back to Christmas Day, and they were six or seven games above 500. So
They whooped up on the Warriors without LeBron, essentially.
I don't know. I kind of think that, you know, maybe LeBron could have done what he did with the Cavs last year, where he carries an inferior roster against, admittedly, inferior teams. Now, you put the Lakers on the other side of the bracket, you match them up with Utah, Houston, or Golden State, and I don't think they're beating those teams. But I'm not so sure that they couldn't have beat Oklahoma City or Portland or Denver in a seven-game series.
I'm pretty sure. I say with 100% certainty they could beat Oklahoma City after what we saw in the first round of the playoffs.
All right, so it's I don't know. Again, I'm done talking about the Lakers until they do something this summer and sign somebody, and we can start talking about real situations here. So,
all right, well, I think that wraps up all we really needed to talk about. Oh, one other thing. Dwayne Wade, just so you know, Dwayne Wade got a vote for a second team All-NBA this season.
Talk about legacy. I didn't know his dad was a member of the media.
It had to be some Yahoo in Miami. Probably Levitard. Maybe. I don't know if he was the one who got voted. But
That could very well be. Well, it was an interesting and disappointing night if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan like Jason and I have become over the last week and a half to 10 days with, again, hopes that they could maybe knock off the Warriors. Our hopes for that are fading very, very quickly. We're still hopeful that Milwaukee can rebound and somehow get Game 6 and then bring it back home for Game 7. Giannis, if you're out there and you're going to win the MVP, we need transcendent Giannis. We need you to get 35 and 15 in the next game and then do it again in Game 7. Prove you deserve that MVP trophy. Bring it home in the playoffs. Get the Bucks into the finals. And let's try to get out there and see if we can't beat the Warriors in the finals. I don't think it's going to happen, but I definitely don't think it's going to happen if it's Toronto. And I think there's maybe a puncher's chance that they can do something against them if it's Milwaukee. But we'll see. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.